Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Going to be cloudy and breezy, a high maybe 17 degrees, but below zero wind chill readings through the day. Kenosha right now is at 7 above. In Burlington, it is 4 degrees. In Milwaukee, 10 above and 8 degrees right now in Racine. With the latest president of Carthage College having served, the last president, that is, of Carthage College, serving about a quarter of a century, it's kind of understandable that some folks believe that the one who's in power now was going to be staying around for quite a while. However, Greg Woodward, who became the president only about 4 years ago, has announced he's going to be leaving Carthage after the current term. One of our partners at Gateway Public Radio is Greg Berg. He is also a longtime music faculty member at Carthage.
I think most of us were quite surprised, although as he spelled out the reasons, that it made perfect sense. So it's, in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense and is not a shock once you read his announcement and followed the reasons for it.
Woodward leaving for the top job at a private college in West Hartford, Connecticut, a news release indicates it's closer to his family. The Board of Trustees will be working right away on Woodward's replacement. Under Woodward's tenure, Carthage has witnessed its highest retention and graduation rates in school history, its largest philanthropic gifts, and he oversaw construction of a new $43 million science center and just recently secured a $15 million donation to fund a career and welcome center. UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford is one of five school leaders to be given a pay raise by the Board of Regents at a time when morale among employees is not the best. The five chancellors getting up to 6% raises, each up to $220,000. Ford's salary has been $209,570, second lowest among the five, just ahead of the chancellor at UW-Superior. The smallest increase for the lacrosse chancellor, leaders at River Falls and Plantville also getting a pay boost. UW System spokesperson Stephanie Marquis says the salary increases help to keep these leaders on par with their peers all around the country, as well as within the UW system. All faculty and staff are being recommended for 2% raises next year if it's approved by lawmakers. Well, it's not the first time the upcoming Christmas and New Year's holidays have messed up the lives of Racine residents when it comes to solid waste collection, but it may be the first time that a somewhat organized effort of complaining about it got some serious attention during citizen comments at the Public Works Committee meeting. Northeast Side resident Steve Rockstead's house is on the Monday schedule, but claims he'll have 3 weeks of garbage and 4 weeks of recyclables because there won't be pickup December the 26th and January the 2nd.
If ever we didn't have trash pickup on a Monday, the trash was picked up on Tuesday. That has seemingly gone away. I don't know why that is. We had a DPW strike one time when I was a kid, and we had to bring our trash down here, and we had to burn it behind City Hall in the little building with the chimneys. I mean, I don't understand with a city this size that we don't have a credible way of not having trash pickup for nearly 1 month.
DPW Commissioner Mark Yalen could not respond during the meeting by law, while afterward in his office, he promoted the automated cart system for helping next summer, but suggested nothing can really be done now other than maybe a phone call from concerned citizens about the Pearl Street site.
Right now, there is a number of people that, you know, have extra leaves. Somebody calls up and they want to dump leaves. I think it's between like 7 and 2:30. You can come down to the Pearl Street yard and you can dump leaves there. Okay, so we haven't talked about solid waste, but I mean, typically when somebody's dumping leaves, we either do it in the spot or, you know, even on Saturdays, we'll have a trash truck you can throw stuff in. In the, you know, 4 years this has been going on, we've never dealt with that. Nobody's ever even asked.
Alderman Steve Smetana, Mike Shields, Henry Perez, also a part of the audience about holiday garbage pickup. A decades-long criminal investigation into a nationwide salmonella outbreak has now been settled. Scott Carr has the story.
During Christmas week 2006, Maura Lou Marshall was one of 625 people infected with salmonella after eating one of her favorite snacks, spoonfuls of Peter Pan peanut butter.
It's definitely just brought my life to an end.
On Tuesday, President of ConAgra, Leo Knowles, pleaded guilty on behalf of the company to a misdemeanor charge, settling a criminal investigation into the source of the illness. It was traced to a plant in rural Georgia. A federal judge is expected to decide today whether to accept a settlement deal calling for ConAgra to pay $11.2 million, including an $8 million fine, the largest criminal fine regarding food safety ever in the U.S. Scott Carr, Washington.
Flight for Life was called to transport one person injured in a two-vehicle crash at 4 Mile and Nicholson Roads in Caledonia yesterday afternoon. Accident involving a car and a truck. One of the drivers taken by the helicopter to a Milwaukee hospital. The other reportedly to a local hospital by Caledonia Rescue. No other information available at this point. The southbound lanes of I-94/41 in Kenosha County at Highway 142 closed about 3 hours Monday night into Tuesday morning, as we told you yesterday. It turned out to be a fatal accident involving a 28-year-old Elmhurst, Illinois woman whose car went out of control and struck the right side barrier wall and then was hit by another vehicle.
Kenosha County Sheriff Sergeant Eric Klinkhammer says Maureen Oler was driving southbound when, for an as yet undetermined reason, she lost control and struck the wall on the west side of the highway. Her vehicle came to rest in the travel lanes on the bridge over Highway 142 and was struck by an Astro van driven by David Ebner of Kenosha. Klinkhammer says it appears the headlights on the victim's car were knocked out by the original crash. Oler was pronounced dead at the scene. Ebner and two passengers in his vehicle were transported to an area hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. The crash remains under investigation. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
The Racine Fire Department looking for the owner of a car that was damaged by a fire yesterday morning. Passerby called 911, spotted the car parked in the 2700 block of Olive Street on fire. The fire was quickly extinguished when nobody stepped forward to claim the vehicle. An investigator was called into the scene and the car was towed to the city impound lot for further examination. Owner of the vehicle being urged to contact the fire department. Sentencing for 17-year-old Racine resident Ryan McKeela, accused of setting fire to a vacant home on Geneva Street back in March, postponed until next June so he can take part in the state's Challenge Academy. McKeela pled no contest to misdemeanor charges of criminal damage to property, disorderly conduct, and trespassing off the original felony count of arson. Racine County Judge Emily Miller agreed to postpone the sentencing to give McKeela the chance to graduate from the academy, which, according to its website, is an alternative education program designed to reclaim the lives of at-risk youth. Another teen, 19-year-old Alexander Rodriguez, pleading no contest to an arson count, he's scheduled for a January sentencing. The older homes in Milwaukee with people with lead pipes, they're going to have to pay about a third of the cost to replace those pipes. The Milwaukee Common Council passing an ordinance to allow the start of the pipe replacements in affected area homes when water main repairs are needed in those areas or if there is a repair emergency.
People report water surfacing in a certain location. We investigate and we determine it's a service leak and then we address it. So there's no telling where it's going to happen.
That's Kasan Korba, the Milwaukee Public Works Commissioner. On average, the bill to replace the pipes would be about $1,600. The issue thrust into the spotlight with the lead-tainted water crisis in Flint, Michigan. Walmart is pulling a mug off its website after a bunch of complaints came in from shoppers who said it was appalling and offensive. It's a black-and-white coffee mug, has the word on it that is an epithet used to describe someone developmentally challenged. Walmart said the mug was from a third-party seller and it was removed as soon as they learned about the problem. Amazon did the same thing recently. The National Down Syndrome Society thanking the retailer, saying that strongly condemns the use of the R word. And it's going to be a few more weeks before officials in this tournament really know if it's going to be possible to open up an outdoor ice skating rink. Village Board, during its continual committee meeting set up last night, discussed the possibility, with engineer Jeff Seitz indicating it's not quite as easy as just cracking open a hydrant to flood one of the village parks. He says you'll have to talk to the Racine Water Utility.
I don't know if they would want to be operating the hydrants themselves. The cost of water is cheap. That's not the deal. But metering, valving, pumping out hydrants after they're utilized, rec charges, those are all questions I should pose to the city, the water utility, and see what their reaction is.
In the past, the village had ice rinks at both North and South Parks, but stopped flooding them during those lean budget years. WRJN.com is our webpage. Our newscasts are there in the local news section. At WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.